Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
And welcome to another edition of Spits and Suds. So glad you can join us after that game one thriller. The Dallas Stars take a 1-0 lead. And joining us is our Stars and NHL insider. You can see him all over the place, but specifically, if you haven't yet, terrific recap, really detailed of last night's tilt. His Substack is at ShapShots, EP Ringside's own. Stars in the movie, the late game movie. All you have to do is Google that and you can see where you can watch it. He is all over the place. He's our very own Sean Shapiro. Most importantly, mark your calendars tomorrow. Happy birthday, Sean Shapiro.
Thank you, Gavin. Thank you. I wasn't expecting the happy birthday wish, so thank you on that. And I appreciate it, and I'm happy to be here.
You know, I have my own insiders, and they won't give me hockey tidbits, but they'll give me Sean Shapiro birthday tidbits. So there you go.
There you go.
Okay, let's start out with obviously the headline, Mikko Rantanen talking about taking over plays, doing what no other NHL player has ever done in playoff history, and a term being thrown out is the Stars have never had a player like Mikko Rantanen. I guess my question is, Sean, from a Mike Modano perspective, I kind of find it fascinating because obviously he has the statue, one of the greatest American hockey players of all time, clearly one of the best NHL players of all time. So, but I'm watching Mikko Rantanen as an individual, and I think maybe that's the difference. Am I right on that?
Well, I think here's the thing about Mikko Rantanen versus Mike Modano, but just like why the Stars haven't had a player like this, right? Like, this is a Mike Modano, obviously in the Hockey Hall of Fame, number retired, everything he's done for the franchise, right?
Yep.
Mike in a early Mike Modano was a great, highest scoring American-born player of all time. He had a 93-point season in 92-93. His first year in Dallas, I think he has about a 93-point season. And this isn't a disrespect to what Mike Modano is, and I think this is something I think people don't understand how good Mikko Rantanen is. I mean, even when Mike Modano was playing for the Dallas Stars, like, objectively speaking, Gavin, was he ever a top 15 player in the league? And I'm not
good
trying
question.
To be mean about
yeah,
that.
I understand what you're saying.
If you were going to go and say, hey, this is a top 15 as a forward, I want to be clear on that. If the start, if you were really going to go and pick the, even from Mike Modano's top season, right? Like, if you were to go to like his 93 point season in with the North Stars, right? Like, that is a great year. And but if I go through and I kind of look at that era for his 93 points, while great, there was, he finished, I'm looking it up as we're talking, he finished 30th in league scoring that year. Right? Like, it's like, it's not like it, like it's like Joe Sat, like Matt Sundin had 114 points that year. Pavel Bure had 110 points that year. And that's not all about points, but my point on Mikko Rantanen is the Stars have never had a forward like this that impacts the game in every facet and is legitimately a top 10 forward in the world.
Yeah.
That's what Mikko Rantanen is. He is a top 10 forward in the world. He's not the Stars' best player. I want to be clear on that. That's Miro Heiskanen. Miro Heiskanen is the Stars' best player. Everything is, and that's one another thing we should always make a note of with this playoff run. The fact that they've done this without Miro is absolutely bonkers. So, but they've never had a forward like this that could completely take over a game, take over a series. I mean, he's sixth all time in playoff points per game with a pretty large sample size. This is, we can't, it's one of those kind of moments when you talk about greatness in front of you that you want to take time to appreciate it, because this is video game stuff. Now, there's no way he's going to have, the hot streak will cool down at some point, right? Like, he's
sure,
he might have 0 points in the next game and everything like that. But the whole point here is there's no, there's no comparable in Stars history. Like, Brett Hull was obviously, Brett Hull wasn't in his prime when he came to Dallas. Brett Hull was a great player and everything like that, but Brett Hull wasn't, Brett Hull, you saw him, Gavin. Brett Hull could score 60 goals, but what did he do the other 18 minutes he was on the ice?
And
like, this is, and I want to be very clear on this, because people get kind of touchy when you talk about comparing the past to the future and everything like that. And this is not me ripping on any of the Stars' past or the history books. This is just me appreciating, and I think we're seeing the evidence of what the Stars saw when they traded for him. I mean, Jim Nill said it best when he was willing to move the first round picks for Mikko Rantanen. And he said, I could have 10 years of first round picks and I would never draft a player like Mikko Rantanen. That's what this guy is. And we're seeing the absolute tops of it, right? And it's going to be, he's got more points in the last three games than everyone else in the entire postseason.
It's amazing.
And it is a hot streak, but it's also a reality of, this is what always the potential is there. Modano was a great player, a hallmark of a franchise, and take nothing away from him at all on anything like that. That this isn't me doing anything like that. But
right,
the Stars have not had a forward like Mikko Rantanen. This is something different completely. And I think there was definitely a human element of a delay of the shock of getting traded from Colorado and then figuring things out in Carolina. And a lot of people being really quiet right now, Gavin, after who were saying, oh my God, they traded Logan Stankoven for this guy.
Yeah, I know. So I know. That is absolutely true. Also love the occasional double shift. I really think that makes Winnipeg think as far as matchup wise, because they never know when he's coming over the boards.
I would, I like that too. I like the way they did that. The thing I would, if I'm Dallas, I wouldn't be opposed to doing it. Now, Miro's going to come back. And whenever Miro does come back, whether it's game two, game three, game four, game five, Western Conference final, whenever Miro comes back, I wouldn't be opposed to, I think this gives you a lot of that flexibility. Hey, we can roll that 11-7 and we can have a little bit of that insurance on the back end with dressing seven and dressing Alexander Petrovic still. And then also unleashing the double shift with Mikko Rantanen, getting him those minutes he was used to in Colorado. Because I think that's one of the things the Stars have had to kind of figure out with him. He was used to playing 23, 24 minutes a night with Nathan MacKinnon in Colorado. Dallas doesn't do that. They hardly ever get a forward over 20 minutes. It just doesn't happen. It's how Pete DeBoer likes to roll his lines. Well, when you have a superstar you handle things a little bit differently, and I think that's okay. So,
yep, absolutely. You mentioned in your Shap Shots article, I hit it hard last night and really went into the face-off win rate in individuals.
Yeah.
And absolutely amazing that Mark Scheifele took 28 face-off draws. You went into the details about, you know, and to me, those are the little nuggets of this that Spits and Suds listeners should pay attention to as far as the Winnipeg lack of depth in the faceoff circle as compared to the Stars, who can take liberties because usually every shift they have two guys out there that are pretty effective in the dot.
Yeah. I mean, the Stars are one of the best play, have been one of the faceoff teams in the NHL for a long time. They were fifth or sixth this year in faceoff win percentage. The Jets are around just below middle of the pack. I think they're 21st, 22nd going into the year. And they are, but they really, after Scheifele, Adam Lowry is average at best at faceoffs. So they're not a deep team down the middle when it comes to winning faceoffs. They also, the Stars are so well constructed where each line is typically built with a lefty and a righty, so you always have someone taking the faceoff on the strong side. That can't be understated when it comes to Jim Nill's mentality on roster building. It's one of those things, and I think I wrote something about this today, where it's the whole level of, at the end of the day, we're talking about a swing of 6 to 7 possessions, right? Because a good faceoff percentage, like the Stars won 38 of 70 last night, which is, so that's a swing of about 6 possessions, right? Or something like that. And that might seem like a small number, and many nights it might be a small number. It might not impact the end game, right? Like, I don't think the Stars won or lost last night because of faceoffs.
Yep.
But it is something that I kind of look at as this series evolves and as things go, where I think Connor Hellebuyck, they beat him in the weird ways last night they needed to. I don't think they solved Connor Hellebuyck last night.
Right.
I don't think the Jets solved Jake Oettinger, obviously, last night.
Yep.
We are looking at some potential 2-1, 1-0, 3-2 games the rest of the way here. Winning those faceoffs, winning them at a key time might be the difference. And I think that's something, one of the things, like, as the chess match of a series goes, those are the things I like to kind of identify early, because it might come into play in game 4, 5, or 6. Might not, but it's why I like to bring it up now.
A lot of frustration last night on Twitter/X regarding Jamie Benn and Mason Marchment and their penalties. Is it too late to try to correct those? And by the way, Jamie Benn playing under 13 minutes last night. And only one faceoff draw.
Yeah, and that was, I mean, the Stars' minutes last night were interesting to look at defensively.
Like, they really were.
From offensive-wise, like we talked about, we talked a lot about Mikko Rantanen getting up to the 19, and that's the second most. I think Wyatt Johnston was at 19:47 there because he plays both shorthanded and power play. But yeah, Jamie Benn was, I think part of that is Jamie Benn's kind of lost his spot on the power play too from a minute wise. So he's kind of playing around that 12 minutes of even strength. And he had the bad penalty on against Valanciunas in game 7 that I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
There's just been a couple things with him lately where you're like, we know this is part of his MO, but this is where it's like, hey, he's got to be better here, right? Like, that's kind of that. The Mason Marchment one is, to me, that is who Mason Marchment is.
Yep.
That's how he plays the game. And I think it's something as a coach you live with for better or worse. And so because how good the Stars penalty kill is, they can give him a little bit more leash, but the Stars penalty kill was struggling and everything like that. All of a sudden, he starts to become a less viable option, right? So I think it's more on something of, I don't think it's something you can deprogram out of a guy in between game 1 and 2 of the second round of the playoffs. So.
Yeah. No, I think you're, I just won. And maybe it was the camera angle that ESPN had, but when I saw him going cross ice, I'm like, no, do not touch him, you know? And sure enough, there's the penalty. Okay. As a goalie, Jake Oettinger, big saves last night, but also I thought his positioning and confidence was terrific.
He was really good last night.
Yeah.
And I wrote about this in D Magazine coming into yesterday about going down the goalie wormhole over at my site about kind of the him versus Hellebuyck duel for this series. And Man, he really made a statement in game one there. Obviously, he's got to keep doing it for however long this series goes, but in a building where the last time he was there, they were chanting Helly's backup at him. The crowd was taunting him after, I think it was a 4-1 Winnipeg game in Winnipeg back on March 14th, I think. For him to go back into that building and then do that in the first one, I mean, that one set that great team picture of everyone battling back to help with 1:34 remaining, but Jake also, despite being in scramble mode, never really losing his sight lines, he is proving himself as a big game goalie. He is proving himself that he can do what Jordan Binnington has done. And I know Stars fans hate Jordan Binnington, but one of the things about Jordan Binnington is Jordan Binnington has always been that guy where no matter what he did from game one through 82, you knew you could expect him to show up in the playoffs. And I think Jake's been a better goalie for game one through 82 than Jordan Binnington has been for his career for obvious reasons. But he is, there's a reason Jordan Binnington will be the starting goalie for Canada at the Olympics next year. The reason he was the starter for at the Four Nations for Canada. Jake is starting to develop that reputation. And for Jake, one of the big things was proving the initial proof of life for this back against Calgary in 2021 wasn't just the outlier. And I think there was a little bit of the question of, was that the outlier? Was that the outlier? And then this season, he's been able to prove, you know what? This is who Jake Ottinger is in the postseason. And I mean, there's been some, he's been dialed in. It's been fun to watch.
Four out of the last five games, 912 save percentage or higher. Scott O'Neill, after the game, paraphrasing here, basically said we came out like it was a regular season game in December. In other words, he was basically calling his team flat. What adjustments do you think his team is going to make, and how should the Stars counter that? I'm expecting a much more physical and get the crowd into it, Winnipeg Jets kind of buzzing as well in game two.
I mean, they outhit the Stars 46 to
I know,
24, so I
I
don't really
know.
know how much more physical they can be. Now that crowd at Friday night, late puck drop local, what is it going to be? It's going to be a 9:30, 9:30. No, it's going to
Yeah,
be an 8:30
it's
drop there
basically an
on Friday.
8:50 once again, puck drop Central Time. The Labatts will be flowing up in Canada.
I know it's going to be a well lubricated crowd for the Winnipeg Whiteout. Like that crowd is going to be absolutely going bonkers. So, Stars will have to be ready for that. I think it'll just be similar, just like they had to be ready for the Wednesday night crowd. They also have to. I think Winnipeg was really hurt by Josh Morrissey's absence
Absolutely,
after game
yes.
seven, and I think that's a big one. I don't know if Josh Morrissey, just having Josh Morrissey come back it's not as simple as that, right? Like it's like so Neil Pionk played 25:08 last night. Dylan Sandberg played 22:30. Dylan DeMello, like, I mean, they got Colin Miller playing 17:56 on their second pair last night, and obviously Colin Miller is a former star and someone the Stars coaching staff wouldn't even trust in a third pairing role as much as what was it 2 years ago
That's
now with
correct.
Colin
Yep.
Miller. So it's the Stars. I mean, the Jets' problem is with Morrissey out, they don't have their Thomas Harley. Like Miro Heiskanen is a better player than Josh Morrissey. I'm not having that debate, but Josh Morrissey is more important to the Winnipeg Jets because they don't have a Thomas Harley who can step in and make sure everything continues to run and the transition game still happens. I thought the Jets' kind of movement from defensive to offensive zone really was disappointing and did not work at all last night. And so from their perspective, I think it is a obviously, I don't know what the state of the Morrissey injury is. It's playoff time, cloak and dagger, all that. But I would definitely, for them, I don't know if they have the defender who can step up. I don't know if you can make that adjustment. So it becomes more and more of a supportive team game. The other thing about the Jets, and I know Scott Arneil didn't like the start to the game, but as I kind of look at it, right? If you look at it at a vacuum, okay, The Jets only allowed 24 shots. One goal was a great effort play by Mikko Rantanen on the rebound.
Mm-hmm.
Great effort play. Another one was the another one was a really nice tip. That's a good goal. And then the other, the power play goal is a deflection off of a Jets defender and goes in. And so if you're the Jets and you look at that game just from a structural standpoint.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You got to believe Mikko Rantanen is not going to score three in one period in the next game.
Right.
Right. And so all of a sudden you're looking at that and you're thinking like, okay, we're not nearly like the intensity early. 100% agree with it. Got to be more intense coming out. All that stuff. But I don't think they're nearly in the type of negative space the coach tried to paint the picture. And I think it's more of a coaching tactic to try to get the guys going.
Okay. Quickly, a couple more things. Pete DeBoer said Miro Heiskanen will return in this series. What kind of defensive pairings would you like to see? Do you separate Harley and Heiskanen?
I am a big believer in your defensive pairs don't have to be locked together because I think there's things you can mess around with. And like Esa Lindell and Cody Ceci have actually been quite good together.
Yeah,
they've
Ceci
done their job rather... They're rather well, and that's something where, and I think Ilya Lyubushkin can easily slide down to that pair with
Bischel.
Replace Petrovic on the pair with Bischel, and I like the I don't mind the idea of Harley and Miro together. I think it creates a really dynamic pairing, and if Cody Ceci and Esa Lindell can continue to kind of do what they've done so far, I would do that because I think all of a sudden you have an ice tilt there and you have things that start to go really well. And especially for this series, when he comes, I think we have a different conversation depending on who they're playing. If they win this series and play in the next round, I think there's a different conversation to have based on some of the matchups you might have there. But for this series where it's going to be tight, you know, you want to seize opportunity through the neutral zone. I think putting them together, it could be a really fun setup, and just from the way you're tilting the ice with them there, and especially with when you have something working well with Lindell and CeCe right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go national for a second. Joel Quenneville making his way back into the league.
Yeah, I saw that officially came out while literally we're recording here, and I have. It's one of those where I'm not going to speak too much on it because it's the,
I agree.
it's, Very I, tough. I have my feelings about what happened in Chicago. And obviously now the Ducks said they did their due diligence. They said they looked into things around the Kyle Beach case and everything like that. And the only thing I can say is that, and they haven't done a presser or anything like that, but if, hopefully they really did do their due diligence. And if there's going to be the, I learned from my mistakes, here's how I've changed. I think the Ducks owe it to all of us and will make everyone's life easier in Anaheim from a team coverage, everything perspective. If they just, if if they just give out all of how he's changed, right? Because then all of a sudden it at least becomes like, give me the evidence, right? I don't want to hear Pat Verbeek just say, oh, he's learned from the mistakes then and change and everything like that. No, I want to, I want proof. I want evidence of that. And so I'll leave it at that, because that to me is on the, I knew somebody was always going to hire him, especially after Stan Bowman got hired in Edmonton. It's just, this is not, he was fired for being a bad hockey coach. This is something where I hope that they did the proper due diligence. I really hope so.
I agree with you. I'll just say, need more than just time. I need explanation, and hopefully they go into it. Sean, happy birthday, and hopefully you get lots of birthday wishes tomorrow. I'm sure you'll get some great family time in, which is awesome. Quickly, plug what you have coming up.
Yeah, check out, we got the guys and I over at Elite Prospects have been really busy with draft season coming up, so check out all of that stuff as we get going there. Go through, obviously, read my work over at ShapShotsHockey.com. Mm-hmm. That's really a big spot, and get us rolling from there, and that should be good. And obviously listen to this show with Gavin, because he's doing a great job. He's been a great job kind of being the OG of building out. I felt very young saying that term. That's a term I've never used before, by the way, Gavin.
I love it.
But that's what we're, I love that's it. Where Gavin is. Gavin of Dallas Stars Podcasting has really,
He
really set a bar that everyone else has kind of
thank you, man.
Worked to try to reach.
So we're doing a random today, actually. We're doing a doubleheader once again. And joining me in just a couple of hours, and we'll release it later today, world tennis champion John Isner is going to talk.
I'll listen over to that.
Yeah, Stars fanatic.
Have you recorded it yet?
No.
Have you recorded it yet?
No.
You should ask him, because he's the one who had he was part of the set that went like into the next day, right? Like he was part of like one of the epic like tennis matches that went like into the next day, right?
Yes, remember I believe that? So. Yes, yes.
I would ask him what his if he sees any parallels between that and being with his age. I don't know the exact Stars teams he would have watched growing up, but there's throughout Stars history there's been some pretty epic overtime. So I'm wondering if he ever thought about that during some of his marathon tennis matches. I'd be interested to hear what you get out of that.
I definitely will ask him about that, and he is dialed in. He loves the NHL. And he wants to talk hockey. So absolutely, he gets the opportunity on Spits and Suds. You are a beast, my friend. Thank you so much for taking the time during this playoff season. I know it's hectic for you, for joining us on Spits and Suds. You are always terrific.
All right. Thanks a lot, Gavin. Always fun, man.
Absolutely. That's the greatness of Sean Shapiro. Make sure you check out Shap Shots and subscribe on his Substack. Well worth the money, the analytics and the breakdown you get in the video. It is absolutely terrific. Takes your Stars fandom to the next level. Like I said, we'll have a doubleheader today as we're trying to put out as much content as we can as we get you ready for Game 2, Stars, Winnipeg, Friday night. And we'll talk about it after the game as well. So lots of episodes forthcoming right here on Spits and Suds. Until our next episode, have a great day, everyone.